It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'm sure glad that you've joined us today with this study. And please open your Bibles to Exodus. We're looking at Exodus chapter 26, and we're going to begin reading with the 14th verse, and we'll read down through the 25th verse today. And so please, as you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to check our website out, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today as we continue the study in the look of the tabernacle and the beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus that this has for us. And so now we're going to begin reading with verse 14, Exodus chapter 26, verse 14. "And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering above the badger skin. And thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of acacia wood standing up. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the breadth of one board. 2 tenons shall there be in one board, set in order one against another. Thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make the boards of the tabernacle 20 boards on the south side southward, and thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. For the second side of the tabernacle, on the north side, there shall be 20 boards, and there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, thou shalt make 6 boards. 2 boards shalt thou make for the corners of the tabernacle in the 2 sides, and they shall be coupled together beneath, and they shall be coupled together above the head of it into one ring. Thus shall it be for them both. They shall be for the 2 corners, and they shall be 8 boards, and their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board." We'll end with the reading there and begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this study. It is so exciting and so wonderful to be able to open your Word, your living Word, and enjoy it each and every day. So please, dear Lord, that you'll guide and lead us today as we continue to look at not only the coverings but also the walls of this beautiful tent. Please help us to see the picture of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this. That don't let us miss one point, one thing. And we know that it's alive, so every time we study it, we see something a little clearer, a little more important. And so please, dear Lord, that you'll show us your way and will today. Bring those that are lost to salvation, those that have never come to the cross of Calvary. They've never accepted the fact that they're sinners and they're lost. Today, I hope that they recognize that you, through your precious word today, will touch their hearts, and they'll recognize that they're lost and they're dying in their sin, and they need a Savior, and they'll recognize, too, that you are the only Savior. There's none other than you, the Lord Jesus Christ. So please, dear Father, that you'll guide and lead us today. Show us your way and will, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, it's a wonderful time as we come and look to the Scripture. We have looked at this tabernacle and this building, and we know it to be 45 feet long and 15 foot wide. We have discussed the size of the courtyard, which is 75 by 150, and we look at the courtyard, the full courtyard, and then we come, as we come from the east going west, you'll see the brazen altar first, Then the brazen laver, these two are out in the courtyard. And then we come to the door of the tabernacle of this tent. And then we've, you know, he has come and tabernacled with us, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to earth and born in the flesh. And so we see such a beautiful picture here of this. And I think you're going to see that as we continue the study, looking at even something so simple as the products that was used upon the roof of this. And so then we come into the tabernacle, into this tent. The first room is 30 by 15. You have the lampstand, the table of showbread, the incense altar. And then we have beyond that another room, an independent room, that is 15 by 15 by 15. And in there is the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. So you see we have six articles of furniture that's within this room. And we need to see that as we enjoy looking at the tabernacle, at the different furnishings of the tabernacle, and even looking at the roof of the tabernacle, we're standing inside now. Let's come in to the courtyard. Let's pass by the brazen altar. That's where the sacrifice was made. In order to pass by there, you have to accept that sacrifice, and that being the Lord Jesus. Picture the beautiful cross. Then let's come just a little further, and after offering that sacrifice, we must wash our hands at the laver. And the Word of God washes us, cleanses us as we study it, search it, enjoy it. And then we walk in for the fellowship time in the holy place. And in there, again, we have the table of showbread, and so we can nourish ourselves with the bread of life, which is, again, the Word of God. We'll be able to learn the Word of God. We'll be able to use this bread of life and digest it because of the lampstand. The lampstand being a pure gold and showing the ways, the light that it puts out will show us the way to the table of showbread. It'll show us the way to the incense altar or the prayer altar, as sometimes people refer to it. And so as we come into this room now, why we have this time of fellowship, it is the only light, and something very, very important to remember, that there is no other light for us to have when we're looking to the Word of God. Man today has continued to try to change the Word of God. There's different versions, one right after the other, that comes out, and man's always anxious to see if there's something better. Well, I'm sorry, let's stay with the old King James. Let's stay back there. You know, in Nehemiah, now Nehemiah tells us that it's to stay with the old things. And we even looked up a verse of Scripture back in Jeremiah that quotes that. We're looking at the old gate as we look at the rebuilding the wall back in Nehemiah's time. And we get to the gate that's called the old gate. And we need to stick with the old things. We need to stick with the Word of God and not change it. And we find in, again, Jeremiah makes the same statement that we need to stay permanent. Don't be changing. God is never changing. And so we need to see that we don't evolve into something. And so many of the activities that we have today in our churches is things that man has involved. It's brought people in, but it's not changed lives. It's not brought salvation to the lost. It's not brought growth to the saved. It's just activities. Church is full. The pocketbooks of the preachers are full, and the church offering or the church treasury is full. And so it must be working. It's not working. It's not working. We must stay with the old things. Stay with the old hymns. Read those beautiful old hymns. Hymns that you can let soak into your heart. Deal with your heart. You know, you take a look at the old things again, my friend. I don't care how old or young that you are. Let's go back and take a look at the old. We need to go back there. This picture here that we have as we come into the courtyard, on into the tabernacle, the tent, and we're in here to the holy place. And of course, we have one more room, and that's the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant is, and the mercy seat. That's where the high priest would come in and sprinkle the blood seven times on the Day of Atonement, one time a year. As we look up, As we look up, we see this most gorgeous, gorgeous ceiling, the white linen embroidered with beautiful colors, cherubims embroidered upon it as they seem to hover over and look out for us as God's protectors. And we feel such a comfort and such a beauty when we come in and we're into fellowship with the Lord. We've got the light of the world is gone, and we're depending solely on the light of the Lord Jesus. And when we have that, we have this beautiful color. And we've just read here with the boards and the sockets that they're gold. They're acacia wood overlaid with gold. And this polished gold, can you imagine being in there and have this lampstand, the single only light inside this room? A room that's 30 by 15, about size of most folks' living rooms, and fair-sized living room, but it's a good-sized room. But here is this one lampstand, and it has seven wicks on it, and it's burning so beautifully and so perfectly because they keep them trimmed and keep the oil filled and everything just perfect in this lampstand. And here shines across, and it reflects off of those beautiful golden walls, and we look up. And here is this beautiful, beautiful white linen, embroidered linen, as we look up. And then we know next to that, above that, which can't be seen, is this goat hair curtain. And that's what we looked at last time, was the goat hair. Now, we just talked about the high priest taking in the blood into the Holy of Holies. It took two goats to do that on the Day of Atonement. And we went back to Leviticus 16, 19 through 22 last time we were together. And you can sure go back if you missed last time or if you didn't get the chance or didn't get it written down. Leviticus 16, 19 through 22. And you'll see one of the most beautiful pictures of the Lord Jesus and what he does for us, what he did for us upon Calvary when he died on the cross. And we find that there are two goats. One goat was they cast lots, decided which one was to die. One died, and one was allowed to be kept alive. And so the one that that was put to death, they caught the blood, and that blood was brought in through the holy place, right through the veil into the Holy of Holies, and sprinkled upon the mercy seat. Because you see, that's the only way that a believer can possess mercy is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way any man, woman, or child can ever have mercy is if it's through the blood. And that's the reason that I don't bend on this. I don't move on this. We have to. This is one of those old doctrines that you don't want to leave, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Many people of today's society, they deny the blood of Jesus Christ. They see no need in it. Well, if they see no need in it, then they do not possess salvation. Because this beautiful picture here is exactly what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He shed his blood. And he died, and then he took his blood. The Lord Jesus himself took his blood and presented it to the Father upon the mercy seat that's in heaven. And we know that that building is real up there, because when Moses looked at this building, he saw the original. And now he's building a duplicate down here to the best of the ability with the cursed earth and cursed man that we have. But what a wonderful picture when we know that Jesus has taken my sin away and Jesus has set me free. And when he looks down upon me, he sees nothing but the blood of his Son. When the Father looks to me, he sees a perfect vessel. Now, I'm still living this old flesh, and so you know and I know that it's not perfect in man's eyes. I still sin. That's the reason I need that laver. I need that cleaning process, and that process is going to go on till the day I die. Then will I be made completely whole, finished. But until then, we can just go day by day. And this second goat, the goat that was allowed to be alive, After Aaron, the high priest, took this blood in, sprinkled it upon the mercy seat seven times, then he comes back out with those bloody hands and he lays it upon that live goat, and he confesses all the sin for the nation of Israel. And then a just man takes that goat, and he leads him away into the wilderness as far as the east is from the west. You see, our sins never return to us. And what a beautiful picture. Now, because this wasn't the Lord Jesus and it was just an animal, they had to do it repeatedly. They did it every year for all those years that they were in the wilderness, and it was repeated all the years as they were in the nation, the land of Canaan. And so as we look, and they did it, was to do it, they didn't, but they were to do it all the way up until Jesus went to the cross some 2,000 years ago. And so they were to do it for 1,500 years is how long every year. So 1,500 times they were to do this. And they have the Passover. They have other feasts and festivals that they did. But this in here is, the Passover, such a beautiful picture, because you put the blood on the doorpost, on the lintels, the very first Passover, and that death angel passed over. What a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that we can have that old death angel pass over us because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, as we look here, and again, we have the picture of the two goats on the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16:19 through 22. And then we looked at several because, he is our sin bearer. And we looked up Isaiah 53:6, Hebrews 9:28, and 2 Corinthians 5:21. We looked those verses up last time we were together, and what a beautiful picture. Now, so keep in your mind now, we're standing inside the holy place. We're looking up, and all we see is the beauty of this linen, and it's beautiful, just beautiful. And then you can't see the goat hair curtain that's above that. And then beyond that is where we start today. And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skin dyed red, a covering above of badger skin. And so in this one single verse, we have the last two coverings. In the first 13 verses, it took us to tell us about the linen and the goat hair. These are no less important. This ram skin tanned and dyed red, again, is a beautiful substitute for our sin that took our place. We know that red stands for blood. We're back to this blood. We're back to the atonement again. Now, I've got some verses of Scripture here that we're going to look at, because we need to look to see that this isn't just a new plan. This isn't just something new that's just come about, because God's plan is eternal. And God's plan for Adam and Eve was salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ when they ate of the forbidden fruit, sinned, was separated from God. God bought them. God purchased them. And so as God bought them, as God purchased them, we need to know that it is wonderful knowing that we have been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus. But understand that it started clear back with Adam and Eve. God's plans never changed. It's faith in Jesus Christ. There's only one thing that's changed, and that is they look forward to the coming of the cross, and we look back to the cross that has come, that Jesus has been to the cross. And that's the only difference. It was all by faith. He said, well, Larry, they had to do all these works. Yes, they did. They had to do many works because it wasn't complete. And that's the reason that those works are gone. We do not have to do anything. And they were doing that, though, by faith. When they would bring their offerings and their sacrifices, it was by faith that it was going to be there. It was no different. And so they needed to be obedient, and we need to be obedient to serve and to walk and to enjoy God's presence each and every day. And so now we get to this this ram skin, and I want to go back to Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. You know, we have always the same, as I've just said. It's God's plan. It's God's way. There's an innocent substitute that's involved here. It must be sacrificed. We have the sacrifice, we have the blood, and the sacrifice must die. And so all these things have never changed from the beginning. And right here is where we find that Jehovah comes forward and provides for Adam and Eve a substitute. Jehovah Jireh is what his name is called in this. And Adam, unto Adam and also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. The word Lord God there is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah will provide a substitute for me. Oh, what a picture. And you find that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. And God killed these animals, and he placed these skins, and I believe they were bloody skins, that they placed upon Adam and Eve, showing what was to come. You know, sin is dirty, and sin is filthy. And Adam and Eve have sinned. They have separated themselves from their God. And God gave them a plan away. Now, they had to accept these coats. They could have rejected them, but they chose not to. And it's the same thing with Jesus Christ. You can reject Jesus today if you don't want to come to him and trust in his precious saving power. If you don't want to trust in his precious blood, you just want to continue to believe you're baptized and member of this church and everything is fine. My friend, you got to be saved. You got to be saved. You got to know when you got saved, because you don't meet the eternal God and not know the day that you meet him, because until that time you're separated from him. And so the day you meet Jesus Christ is a new day. And I, please, I've never forgot the day that I met Jesus Christ. And I served in church all my life. But the day I met Jesus Christ, my life changed. Because I was made new by the blood of Jesus. And I know Jehovah will provide a substitute for me, and he did. Now, this was something that was to come in the future. And so, again, we're looking at this, and it says that made coats of skins. Now, we're not told what that is. But through the Scripture, we have time after time, we have a ram that was caught in a thicket. We're going to look at that here in a minute with Abraham. And we have so many examples of the ram. And I believe that it is a ram that God caught. He slayed that ram himself. And he brought that coat unto Adam and Eve that they can be covered with a picture. It covered again, not taken away. Now, when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, he took my sin away. He didn't just cover my sin. He took it away. Animals covered it because they couldn't take it away. And we've dealt with that last time we were together quite a bit. But please look at that verse of Scripture once again, Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, that God provided salvation for Adam and Eve, and it was with the blood. The blood was shed in order for them to have life. And that's the picture that we have here. And again, what a picture, because their sins are covered. They had to accept it. You have to accept Jesus Christ today. Let's move to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And we're going to look at verse 13. Genesis 22, verse 13. And we have a beautiful picture here before I even read this verse, because Isaac is about to be offered, and that's the only son that Abraham had. And God called him to do something, and when he calls him in the first verse there of chapter 22, he says, "Here am I." And then he says that, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering unto one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and says, My father. He says, Here am I. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to a place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he says, Here am I. And he says, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of God, the Lord, it shall be seen. We talked about Jehovah Jireh earlier, and with the offering of the ram or the skins for Adam and Eve. And but the true picture, a full picture, as you study the Word of God, we find that there is one that will provide a substitute for me. And what maybe you don't realize is that this place that we have just read here in Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14, do you realize that that's Mount Moriah? Do you know where Calvary is located? Calvary is upon Mount Moriah. Now, can I say that this is exactly the same place where Jesus died? No, I can't. But it definitely is the same area, and it's the same region where our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, died. And so when Abraham stands there, and he says, this place, name the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Oh, the coming of the Lord Jesus, some 18, almost 1900 years later, when Jesus came to the cross, God showed Abraham and God showed us and has it recorded in his precious word what was to come. What a beautiful picture of our Lord and Savior that we have right here. So now we have the white linen, and then next from the white linen, why we have the goat hair curtain. And so we looked about the with the scapegoat, as you've heard that saying many times probably. And then when you look beyond that, why now we find the ram skin dyed red. And so we have such picture after picture. So you see, when we're inside the tabernacle, we see the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That white linen, that beautiful linen, so gorgeously embroidered, beautiful. We see that. But then you see beyond that, then, from that point, that we don't see, but it's necessary, is the substitute that we have with this goat hair curtain, and looking at the picture that we have there. Then we move from there to the ram skin, and this so wonderfully speaks of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is just in the curtain of this building. And then we find this beautiful picture of Abraham, also of Adam and Eve, as God brings salvation to them. You see, we can't just set our time for salvation. That's not ours to get. God comes, God brings it to us, and it's our responsibility to accept it. I hope that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't wait another day, because today is the day of salvation, and if you wait another day, it may be beyond the days that God has offered it to you. It may not exist. You can plead, you can beg, and you can say, please, Lord Jesus, forgive me. But if His calling has ended, it's too late. Today is the day of salvation. Please trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. What a beautiful picture we have just in the ceiling and the materials that are used for the ceiling in this tabernacle. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?